This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 27. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. For those of you like me who live in the greater Tampa Bay area, there are 12 original Hooters brand locations to serve you. Of course, the first ever Hooters is on Gulf to Bay in Clearwater, and the newest Hooters in the greater Tampa Bay area with a wonderful outdoor space. Very wide open on the inside as well for your dining pleasure. Odessa, just a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. And for easy online ordering from any original Hooters brand location in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com. Click the orange icon in the upper right that says order, and you will find it very simple. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Yes, I cannot believe we're already up to episode 27 as I look ahead to Sunday and Monday games in week two. I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon, so I will not have anything. I don't expect this to post until Friday, but honestly, there's not a lot going fantasy-wise in the Thursday game between the Giants and the Redskins. That's also reflective in the Vegas total. I see Westgate Superbook at 40.5. Is that the lowest number of the weekend? Probably. I don't imagine anyone's in the 30s. Nope. That's the lowest number of the weekend. So honestly, as it relates to Thursday night, especially with Saquon Barkley limited and now Fitzmagic out for the Redskins, you're probably still playing Antonio Gibson. I guess you're hoping for the best from Saquon Barkley. You might be flexing Terry McScorin or playing him as a wide receiver too with your fingers crossed. And other than that, I guess you can make a case for Logan Thomas, who was tight end 6 in my scoring settings last week, although he was outscored by 42 wide receivers. Again, another argument against mandatory tight ends and you being forced to start them in your leagues. Get up to date. Logan Thomas, 6th best tight end last week in my scoring settings, outscored by 40 wide receivers. We'll talk about some other things out of week one that trended the way I thought off the 2020 numbers as we go through the schedule for Sunday. All right, New Orleans, Carolina, Jameis Winston may have been one of those guys that some of you grabbed off the waiver wires because of his 5-touchdown, no interception performance in week one that put him as my QB3 in my 21st century standard scoring settings. Only Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes had more. Tougher defensive matchup against the Carolina Panthers. Now Carolina has some film on Jameis Winston based on what they did last week against the Green Bay Packers. I wouldn't bail on your drafted QB1 after 1 week, unless for some reason, I mean, the only injury was Fitzmagic, and I don't imagine any of you drafted him as your QB1. But thrusting Jameis in there in week two seems a little drastic. We need to see a little bit more. It's another road game. Technically, last week they were at home, but they were playing in Jacksonville. I'd be cautious. I don't blame you for picking him up as your backup quarterback, but I'd be cautious playing him. Alvin Kamara's numbers were, I had him as RB11 last week. As things really got spread around by Sean Payton and Jameis Winston, no particular pass catcher stood out. Deontay Harris caught the one home run ball from Jameis Winston. He has super speed. He, of course, might be able to give you a return touchdown a couple of times a year. But we still need to see more of the Saints. Otherwise, their only real starter is Alvin Kamara. At this point, and again, I had him as RB11 last week. From a Carolina standpoint, McCaffrey was RB3 last week, so the volume was there in the win against the Jets. DJ Moore was okay. Robbie Anderson, I think his only catch was the one home run ball from Sam Darnold. So not too much to get excited about there from the Carolina standpoint going into week two. Texans and Browns. I would imagine Mark Ingram got snapped up on waivers by some of you this week. As someone put it online, and I don't know where I saw it, I apologize, this is not mine. Mark Ingram's numbers from week one may not be equaled or surpassed the rest of the season. That was a pathetic performance in Urban Meyer's NFL head coaching debut in the loss to the Texans. Now the Texans play a legitimate National Football League team prepared by a quality coach in Kevin Stefanski that emphasizes ball control. And I would imagine, as Kramer would say, the Browns are probably a feisty bunch after losing that game at Kansas City last week. Browns are favored by 12.5. Picking up Mark Ingram on waivers, I get it. I still don't feel there's any need to invest in any Houston Texans at this point. And as far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned, I don't feel there's value in anyone in the passing game because of how much they use the run. So Chubb and Hunt have value. I don't roster nor even think about starting any quarterbacks, wide receivers, or tight ends as it relates to the Browns. Bengals at the Bears. Let's see. I don't imagine Joe Burrow is your starting quarterback, but he might be your QB2. Bears had a bad week in the secondary against the Rams. Now, granted, that's McVay working with a talented quarterback and Matt Stafford hit two really big passes for touchdowns and nearly a third. But at the same time, it looked like miscommunication in the Bears' secondary on some of those plays. What stood out from Cincinnati's standpoint was Jamar Chase was productive. More so than Higgins and Boyd, the holdovers. Joe Mixon was the top running back. So for those of you that invested in Joe Mixon as your RB2, he paid off week one. He was RB1 in my 21st century standard scoring settings with 21 points. Higher than Chubb, higher than McCaffrey, higher than Montgomery of the Bears. So you have two of the top four running backs from last week. I think the volume should still be there for both in this game. I don't think Zach Taylor will go away from using Mixon. It's not like the Bears are going to open things up. Probably more of a rotation again between Dalton and Fields, but Montgomery seemed to validate your investment in him. If you purchased him as your RB1, more likely your RB2. Same with Mixon. From a pass-catching standpoint, it was a down week for Allen Robinson. It should be a bounce-back spot for Allen Robinson unless him and Dalton just aren't on the same page, which would be another reason to move on to Fields if the Bears lose this game. If Fields is ready, maybe he's not. And trying to think of anything else from a Bears or Bengals standpoint. Nope, that's pretty much it as it relates to those two teams. Raiders at Steelers. Raiders off the Monday nighter, so they've had less time to prepare than the Steelers. The one thing, as impressive as the Steeler win was against the Bills, Najee Harris never left the field. Never freaking left the field in his debut. Wow. But that Steeler offensive line looks awful. Awful. So while you're getting the snap count and potentially the touches with Harris that you invested in probably as an RB2, I'd be worried. I'd be worried about that offensive line, and especially with the trend in the NFL of just open it up. I mean, Pittsburgh has multiple guys in Deontay Johnson, in Chase Claypool, in Juju. where, yeah, Harris will be on the field, but are you, how much do you just keep hammering him when the offensive line can't open a hole for him? Because he's always going to have to make the first maybe two guys miss just to get positive yardage. So that'd be a concern for me. From the Raiders standpoint, keep checking status on Josh Jacobs. Man, he already looks in midseason form like he's banged up. Now, he plays through this stuff, but they have Kenyon Drake. So they actually do have someone else they can go to, someone better than who they had in the past. Still, it's Darren Waller, seemingly nobody for Carr to throw to. I know it was Zay Jones who caught the touchdown, but the Ravens, you know, had bumped into each other in the secondary in that wild Monday night game. So if Jacobs is active and healthy, sure, I can see you playing him. Same with Waller, who they threw to 1,000 times. And from, let's see, the Pittsburgh standpoint, yeah, I can make a case for any of the three wide receivers, and you're going with Najee Harris again just because he doesn't leave the field. But at this point, I'd be worried about that O-line for the Steelers. Bills at Dolphins. Bills are a 3.5-point road favorite. We haven't really gotten to the highest totals yet. Let's see here. For those of you that drafted Zach Moss, yeah, that looks really bad now, considering he didn't even see the field. I don't even think he was active in week one. Don't go nuts on Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is one of those guys that just can't do it from week to week. He's also, Bills get in the red zone. Josh Allen is more likely to keep it and throw it or tuck it under rather than give it to a running back. So I'm not too excited about Singletary's fortunes this week as a plug and play. Look for better things from Diggs and from Allen in this game. Dolphins played very well defensively against the Patriots, but I'll still take Pittsburgh's defense as better than the Dolphins' defense. And I want to believe that Allen and Diggs can do some of the same things they did last year in terms of their overall production. From the Dolphins' standpoint, Tua's game was okay. I still don't think you're rushing to pick him up on waivers or to put him in the starting lineup. Nothing else about the Dolphins really stood out. Like, I'm looking at some of the top performers. Gesicki, for those of you that play in outdated mandatory tight end leagues and you had Gesicki, you're like, wait, what happened here? Will Fuller does play in this game. Even I invested in Will Fuller, knowing Will Fuller is someone I can't count on every week, but I don't think I'm playing Will Fuller this week, but I want to see what he does. So this is his debut in Miami. He had to sit out the first game due to suspension. I assume he's going to play. We don't know that for sure. I guess he could be inactive or be on a pitch count, but it was a suspension, not an injury. So I assume Will Fuller will play and just want to see what he does there. Nothing else really gets me going from the Dolphins standpoint. Okay, Rams and Colts. So wasn't a great game for the Colts running back. I'm blanking on his name for some reason. I'm sorry. You know who I'm talking about. The kid from Wisconsin. Let's see what he does in this performance against the Rams and that quality defense. That's going to be tough sledding. Bad first week for the Colts. Really nothing other than, why can't I think of his name? The Colts running back gets me going here. From Indy's standpoint, especially against that Ram defense. From the Rams standpoint, you saw what you wanted to see if you invested in the fantasy fortunes of Woods, of Kupp. Henderson was all right. Sony Michel only carried the ball one time. I had Henderson as RB10 last week. He was all right. It didn't look great, You know, but it was efficient for the Rams. And those of you that put Matt Stafford in there week one, you like what you saw. Colts aren't healthy on defense either. Rams are a 3.5-point road favorite here. San Francisco at Philadelphia. This is the Eli Mitchell game. So I will probably play Eli Mitchell in at least one of my leagues. I'm not sure if I'm going to play him in both. One of my teams is a little deeper at running back than the other. But I've already cut the cord on Mostert since he's gone for at least 2 months. But now let's see what Eli Mitchell does for an encore after the surprise performance that had him as my RB7 in week one. I know he was the number one waiver wire pickup in most of your leagues this week. I can make a case that you play him. I don't think the Eagles were tested by the Atlanta Falcons at all. And Jalen Hurts, though, was QB4 for what that's worth. He'll find it a little bit more difficult against the Niners. Miles Sanders had some decent numbers. He was not in my top 15 of running backs for week one, and no pass catcher really stood out for the Eagles, although the Heisman winner, Devontae Smith, did, I think, catch Hurts' first touchdown. Goddard got volume. I had Goddard as my tight end 5. Let's see. Denver-Jacksonville. Denver favored by 6 at the Jags. For those of you that kept denying everything I've been telling you for months about James Robinson, well, serves you right. And I wouldn't play him this week. I wouldn't. The only Jaguar I can make a case for is DJ Chark. Maybe DJ Chark skipped over 2020 and is now picking up where 2019 left off. That's all I got for you on the Jags. From Denver standpoint, so much for the rookie Williams making Melvin Gordon obsolete. Gordon was RB5 for the Broncos against the Giants. I've always liked Gordon. Let's see if he can do it. I don't see why he can't do it or have an opportunity against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jerry Jeudy went down. So Tim Patrick might be someone some of you picked up, but I don't know that you're playing him in this spot. To me, the only real fantasy value in this game is it's Gordon and maybe DJ Chark. That's it. Patriots at Jets. Patriots are a 5.5-point favorite on the road at the Jets. Let's see. If Damian Harris better hang on to the ball this week. I don't think Bill Belichick's going to have a lot of patience with that kid if he keeps fumbling, which will open things up for a couple of other young running backs and blow up your investment in Damian Harris as an RB2 or maybe as a third running back if you flex a running back. Trying to think of anything else from New England standpoint, nothing yet. No real explosive numbers, which is to be expected coming out of, going back to the Niners, Deebo Samuel was wide receiver 3 last week, with Brandon Ayuk tanking. I've never seen anything on Ayuk. So let's keep an eye on Deebo and Ayuk, in this second week to see if that's a trend. And then from the Jets standpoint, no, not much anywhere that I can really see to get excited about. Corey Davis. He was wide receiver 5. Yeah, Corey Davis, wide receiver 5. I'm sure many of you drafted him probably as a wide receiver on your bench. Do you play him against the Patriots? Probably not. Probably not. But you want to see him continue to get volume. Minnesota at Arizona. This is a 50.5-point total. So, yeah, you play the hits here with the Vikings, Cook, Thielen, who was wide receiver 6 last week, so much for red zone regression. The Vikings don't have a tight end to count on, so Thielen's still the number one option in the red zone, playing Jefferson. And from the Arizona standpoint, Hopkins was just outside. Well, he was the top 10 wide receiver with the 2 touchdowns last week. Christian Kirk had 2 touchdowns. Be interesting to see if Christian Kirk has another productive game against that bad Viking defense. And Kyler Murray was QB1 last week, even better than Patrick Mahomes. Nothing much going on in the Arizona backfield, as is the case most of the time when you have a dual threat quarterback to do the running himself, especially near the goal line. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, this is a 50-plus point total. According to the Westgate, it's 52. Bucks favored by 12.5. I've already talked about this game on the Bucks Bulletin Edition, separate podcast, Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin, for all you need to know about Falcons and Bucks. Tennessee and Seattle, highest total of the week, 54. Nope, we're not there yet, but 54. Seattle, Lockett had 2 touchdowns last week to be wide receiver 4. Russell Wilson was QB5. Carson was okay. You're always kind of, if you own Carson, that's what you're dealing with. It's going to drive you nuts as a running back 2-ish type play. DK Metcalf owners are saying, hey, what about us this week in the game against Tennessee, especially after what Hopkins did to Tennessee's defense last week. From the Titans standpoint, Henry had his volume. He didn't get in the end zone and didn't break off big runs as game flow went against the Titans. Nothing significant from Julio Jones or A.J. Brown that I can remember from last week. Cowboys at Chargers. Chargers favored by 3.5. This is the highest total of the week, according to the Westgate, at 56. So, Keenan Allen for sure. If you drafted Herbert to be, I don't think Herbert's a QB1 in fantasy. I'd like to have Herbert as my quarterback of an actual NFL team. I really like him. Not a big fan of Austin Eckler. I guess his week 1 was okay. I still don't understand those of you that drafted Austin Eckler in the first round of your fantasy draft. Mike Williams got on the board last week. Mike Williams, another one of those guys. The minute you think, okay, he's turned the corner, he disappears for 2 weeks or gets hurt, or 2 to 3 weeks or 4. From the Cowboys standpoint, so Zach Martin is back, but now they lose Collins at right tackle. I would imagine the Cowboys are going to try to get Ezekiel Elliott more involved running the ball this week. Remember, no Michael Gallup, so that's just more reason to stick with Dak throwing to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Cooper, of course, wide receiver 2 last week, only behind Tyreek Hill, and Dak was QB6. So a lot of guys to play in that game. Kansas City at Baltimore, just a tick lower at 55 on the total, according to the Westgate. So playing the hits here, Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 1 last week. Kelsey was tight end 2 last week. Mahomes was quarterback 2 last week. From Baltimore standpoint, an uneven debut for Lamar Jackson, but he had a lot on his plate with new running backs. Raiders were very getting after him, were very active up front. Jackson had lost 2 fumbles that knocked him below 20 points. He didn't score a rushing touchdown. So as someone who's invested in Lamar Jackson very heavily this year, I'm looking for Lamar Jackson to have a better game against the Chiefs, trying to keep up with Mahomes. And Hollywood Brown, for those of you that like him, he did score a touchdown. He did seem very heavily involved. Sammy Watkins had a good game in terms of Andrews did not. Sammy Watkins did. And from the Ravens running back situation, I'm not sure if you play Tyson Williams this week or not. I think it's still going to be – the more that game went on, it just felt like Harbaugh was more comfortable with a veteran like Latavius Murray in there with Lamar Jackson for whatever reason. So I'd caution using Tyson Williams, who had the touchdown on the fourth and one from 34 yards out. And Green Bay, Detroit, for those of us that have invested in either Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams, let's hope week one was just, okay. Let's move on and get those guys back to their QB1 and wide receiver one status. We have no idea still about the A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones thing based on how poorly the game went for Green Bay. So this should be telling in terms of the workload between those two guys. And from Detroit's standpoint, you know, they just had all that garbage time fantasy production last week as they covered backdoor against the Niners. But Goff had a big game. He was QB7. They had two running backs in the top. Is it 5, 6, 7, 8 of my settings last week? Jamal Williams was 6. Devontae Swift was 8. TJ Hockenson was tight end 3. So, yeah, I mean, it might be more garbage time stuff there for those guys with the Lions. And that'll do it. I'm sorry this one went so long. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.